Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. Today in the studio with me is Duke. Good to have you, brother.
It is good to be here once again.
There you go. Today we got a topic that we're going to just kind of just stir it up a little bit here, because that's what we do, because it's stirred up in our heads already and we kind of go down paths and stuff. But we want to talk about these relationships between man and woman when there is not marriage. How do you survive in there in purity to be able to have a relationship and still feel these feelings that you might feel if you were married, okay? And what do you do with that sort of thing? So we'll talk about that, kind of go from there, bounce it around a little bit. In the meantime, we always like to kind of kick this off with a little bit of encouragement to keep you guys in line with what the Lord has in store. And your little laughter there.
Bit of encouragement. It's a lot of encouragement, and we can use every bit we can get. My encouragement, I guess, today, because you always ask me, has to do with today's topic. That is, I was sought for counsel on this, and as I looked towards biblical standards, I'll say, to try and minister to this, I was reassured with this encouragement that I knew that I would be able to be encouraging in my counsel to this young couple that's struggling with this. And so, and it was reassuring, Raul, to know that when I was asked this question, and some of the things we'll discuss today, that I didn't have the answers because I haven't done a lot of discipleship in this arena, but I knew that I knew that it would be revealed to me.
Yeah.
That as I would seek it, and I would embrace Scripture to seek counsel in those areas that I'm not familiar with, that I just knew that I would be able to direct this couple in sound fashion. So that to me, although it was a challenge to do well in that, I was at the same time reassured by the Spirit saying, you know, don't get spun out about this, Duke. It's my word is clear. I'll help you understand it. I'll reveal it to you, and you'll be able to provide what these folks have asked of you.
Yes, so, yes. All right.
So I'm encouraged already, and I was encouraged by doing the show this morning for that very reason, my friend.
So how do we encourage them?
By showing them God's word and allowing them to understand that it isn't always very clear, but to seek it and understand that God would reveal it to them, because he does every time.
So really what it comes down to is that we're just segueing right into the topic itself.
There
right
you
now.
Go.
There you go. Very sneaky of you, Mr. Cowboy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, let's just get right into it here. You know, it's very challenging in today's world because the world tries to give us a view that everything is okay to be able to feel good and to be able to receive self-gratification, to be able to acquire certain things that are going to bring what we think happiness and joy and fulfillment in our lives. And that's what the world perceives. And Paul talks about it in, of course, mentioning to us that everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Okay. Which some people just say, oh, that's great. Yeah, okay, I'm going to go out and do what I need. He said it's permissible. Mm-hmm. See, we hear what we want to hear, right? And yet as followers of Christ, first and foremost, we got to remember what it is that we're actually saying that we are desiring to do. You know, in following Christ, that means that we've made a decision somewhere along the line that we want to love him. We want to make him not only our savior, okay, because he's saved us from out of the clutches or the darkness, you know, whatever we want to call it, and brought us into the light and reminded us that, hey, he's there for us always. Okay. But not only is he our savior, but he's our Lord. Which the Lord means something more than just a title of Lord that he's, you know, up there. No, he's the Lord. Just like they had back many, many years
days
ago.
Days of kings and so forth.
That's it.
Yeah.
Lord of the land.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You had lords who, this was their property and this is what they did. And you paid taxes to them and or whatever it was.
And there was a consequence if you didn't.
That's right. That's right. And so in a sense, you know, the Lord, okay, is who he's our new manager of our lives. That's really what it came down to when we turned it all over. We gave it to him. We made that decision. Now, one thing I realized after a few years of being in recovery and sobriety, I actually remember being told that, you know, once you make a decision, you can't go back and take it back. You've made that decision. It's kind of like jumping off a high dive. Once you make the decision and you actually jump off the high dive, you can't take it back. You're falling down toward the water. You're going.
Well, and that's assuming water's in the pool.
Well, yes. Yes. And but the simple fact is that you made that decision. You can't go back and say, well, I don't know,
right,
second time. Really what it comes down to is that the enemy, okay, who is here to try to steal, kill, and destroy us, because he doesn't want us, seeking more of the Lord and of expanding the Lord's kingdom. Right?
Right.
And so as a result of that, we get temptation. And because of fallen man, of sin, this is what's just going to take place. That's part of the world that we have in front of us. But we have come to a place of recognizing and realizing that God not only loves us and he'll do whatever we need, but he also gives us what it takes to be able to deal with today's world. Okay.
You know, it seems there's such a minority. And I haven't got a lot of experience in discipling on this topic, but I see it all around me, where men, especially because of what's available out there and the lusts that are just one of the strongest temptations out there for sure, how they tend to rationalize that it's acceptable in some way.
Right.
And not to be black and white, but this is where I struggle with some of the discipleship, is that from my chair, it was pretty black and white. It's like, no,
yeah,
you do not have sex out of marriage, and that there, if you want to get married, there maybe there's a period of time when you take that to the Lord in prayer and you wait and all of that. But that does not seem to be, I mean, there's only a couple of men that I know that actually currently are doing that. They're waiting.
Yes. Yeah.
And being obedient to that. Otherwise, I know many more that are kind of like, well, the Lord understands. He'll forgive me.
Yeah. 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 Well, you know, we'll do anything that we can, once again, to justify our behavior to be able to get what we want, even from the point of hiding it completely in secret that nobody knows and trying to keep that under wraps. And but it always ends up being revealed somewhere down the line, because either living with it or, you know, somewhere we end up having to ask the Lord for forgiveness and then going from there. Which reminds me that, plain and simple, when no matter whether it's sin of any sort, but even sexual immorality, that somewhere along the line we we think that we're going to have time to be able to ask for forgiveness and get it taken care of. We assume that if we're in our mid-20s or early 30s or 40s or whatever, that we're going to live until we're 70-plus, okay? We assume that we're going to see the sunrise tomorrow. And I got to tell you, there are a lot of people that we both know and people that we've come in contact with, including ourselves, know that that's not true. That there's times when all of a sudden our lives may be...
That's the proposition of if I, you know, got T-boned in the intersection today, would I go to heaven kind of proposition.
Yeah.
And this could be a whole nother show, really, but it does go to the root of this as well. And that is, I used to believe that God understood my weaknesses and the temptations and that I was seeking him and that when I sinned throughout the day, that I could do that do-over prayer at night. Okay, Lord, mm-hmm. forgive me. I know I've sinned today. It was the pretty soon I got like I was thinking, I know I sinned. What did I just say?
Right. Yeah.
So it was the idea of knowing in advance that this would not please God.
Right.
And then asking for forgiveness.
Yeah.
That seemed like that didn't work.
You know, well, there's that part. Once again, you know, we try so hard to desperately make the world, along with God, to fit into our little box of, you know, what it is for me, okay? And just the reality is that that's not the way it works. That's the way it works in our head and the way that we'd like it to be. You might as well be in la-la land because that's exactly what it is. You know, that's like me back in the day. I used to always have deals that I'd make with God. Hey, if you get me out of this, this is what I'm going to do. If you grant me this, this is what I'm going to do. If this is available for me, you get that for me, I'm telling you, I'm all in all the time. You know, making those deals, you know, thinking that that's going to take place. And all of a sudden, we get caught up. It gets, you know, it just doesn't happen. But the word, go ahead.
And one of the things that comes to mind as you're saying that is, and we'll have to look at the scripture to tell the guys here later, but what comes to mind is the one where Paul talks about the marriage and how it's his decision not to be married, but he understood that there was these lusts and that we should be married so we don't lust, you know, sinfully.
Mm-hmm.
So now we fast forward to the 21st century and there's pornography at every opportunity. So I've actually had men tell me that one of the reasons they're hanging in on their marriage or even thought about getting married is because they felt that that would keep them from sinning through pornography and so forth.
Right.
So it's kind of like, well, let's get married because then I'll get what I want and I won't have this problem.
Right.
But that backfires too most of the time.
You know, one of the things that I'll bring up here, and I kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, is that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, okay, verse 12, everything is permissible, okay, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Anyway.
Well, that's the black and white.
You know, exactly. The simple fact is that, you know, sex outside of marriage is sexual immorality. Okay? It's you're sinning against God. Not against yourself or against the other person. You're sinning against God. Okay, there are marriage. See, the thing is that we, and even as youths, and I was the same way, man. I just thought, okay, you know what? I have this urge. I have this desire. It's going like, just
raging bulls. Raging,
exactly. No matter what, is what's going to take place. This is what has to happen. I just, you know, God made me this way. Well, yes, he did. But he made us that way designed for marriage. Okay. So that we would be able to create and, conceive children, okay, to have families, to be able to bring them up in the eyes of the Lord for the Lord, okay? That's the whole purpose for it. God created sex. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It ends up being bad when it becomes immoral, when it goes against what God had told us to stay clear of. In a sense, okay? And so often we try to find ways of being able to excuse it and to justify it and stuff. And boy, I tell you, I was there also, but today I am not there. I know that from my own experience. Does that mean I can excuse or give excuse or, you know, blessings to people that I know when that happens? I'm not going to bless them. You know, I'm not going to say that's an excuse, you know, because you're young, you're not thinking, but you are. In some cases, a lot of people aren't aware of it until they hear it. Okay.
Well, it's I don't think it's much different, as I reflected on it, than other sins. Deep down, we know that does not honor God. It is, but we rationalize because right. the urge is so right. strong, and we look for scriptures that say, "Well, certainly God understands this because." And again, this topic is one that is not unfamiliar to most men. So where we need to go with this is how do you get the strength to sustain God's word and honor that when the pull is just so strong?
Well, you know, I'm just going to say one of the things that makes it more challenging than ever is the fact is how much on board am I willing to be?
You mean on board with your belief?
With the Lord.
Your faith with, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, seriously. Because, I mean, if I'm just going to use, you know, Jesus as a fire extinguisher, when I have challenges, I pull him off, you know, break the glass, pull it out, and put the fire out, and then say, okay, thank you very much. Let me get you back up there, and I'll get a new glass so next time, you know, so you don't fall out of there. Whatever it is. But it really has to do with our heart's desire of what it is that we really, truly want. Do we want to just be able to use them, or do we really mean it? Now, what comes into question is our question of salvation. Is it really, is this what
worth?
Did we really, truly make a decision, or was it just something that was integrated in a moment of exhilaration and excitement? Say, yes, this is what I need, you know. But the enemy loves to steal. Right? And he stole that at times when we start feeling that way. So let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue talking about this thing, stirring it up about sexual immorality outside the wedding or outside the marriage bed. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com. Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. I'm Raul, and Duke in the studio. We're talking about immorality, sexual immorality, as a matter of fact.
And here your producer's got this song, Surrender,
yep.
Trust.
Right. Well, you know, but that's really what it comes down to. It's having to get to that place of saying, Lord, I can't do this. Okay? And he gets us out of that, and that's back to where I use the analogy about the fire extinguisher, that God, we call on him, okay? And maybe something changes within what it is that we're seeking. Maybe it even we get our answer, okay, that we're relieved of the challenge, right? And all of a sudden we just sit there and say, okay, we take the reins right back. say, okay, Lord, you know, you slide over, you take that side. I've got the left side of the vehicle. I'll start driving now, and thank you very much. You know, however, whatever you want to, however, whatever analogy, but that's usually what it comes down to. So somewhere along the line, my thought or my desire to seek Him who saved me, okay, is all of a sudden not as, the fire is not there.
It's right? Clouded.
Right, yes. For whatever reason. But once again, the enemy has come to kill, steal, or
and
destroy.
Deceive,
right?
You bet.
And one of the things about that whole thing is that that's only part of what the verse says. The second part of that verse says, "But and this is Jesus talking, but I have come, and I have come to give life, life to the fullest, life in abundance, okay? You know, the enemy came this way. This is what I came for, to give life, okay? And when we see that and we realize that, then we go from there. See, right now, during the show, even as some of the things have been said, some guys turn this thing off. They say, I don't want to hear it. I don't need to hear this anymore, you know, because what I don't know won't hurt me. Why do you think there are some guys that come into ministry or into churches, they sit there, they feel guilty about being in there and hearing it? The last thing I want to do is feel shameful or feel bad about, you know, myself. And yet, that's exactly what needs to take place because there's conviction that's taking place, especially if we know the Lord.
Well, that's that whole we have to decrease for God to increase that doesn't seem to minister well to how we've been raised, I guess.
Exactly.
Because we live in this fallen world that dictates a completely different set of thoughts that way.
Let me just read some out of the book of Galatians, okay? And Paul talks about this in chapter 5. It says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Mm-hmm. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. Here's the part that's important to remember. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. This is how he says it, are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Period.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, he goes on to remind us what the fruit of the Spirit are and what is important. This is what takes place. But you need to know what the bad news is to be able to hear the good news. The simple fact is that list I just gave off, we sat there and we go, man, how many times have we dabbled in a little bit of that stuff, if not all of it at one time or another, okay? Where we sat there and maybe even continue to today. The enemy, again, is wanting to convince us that, hey, listen, your personal satisfaction is really what's important. God wants you to be happy and joyful. So why wouldn't he want you to have this person that is in your life willing to give you anything you want?
Well, and that's he understands. That's like standing before God at time of judgment and say, well, I lived in a fallen world, Lord. You knew that. You knew I would be tempted. Yeah. You knew I was weak in the flesh. You knew. Then you go back to, well, I told you in my word what you were supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And that whole rub, that's the challenge.
But, you know, it's so, not funny necessarily, but it's sad with how we, in hindsight, it's always easier to sit back and say, yes, man, I looked at it the same way. I justified, I tried to do everything I could to give excuses or reasons why I am what I am, and God is not going to take me out because of it. You know, like I was so assured of this sort of thing. Well, I pray that no one ever has to go through what I went through to get where I'm at today, because I don't know whether they would be able to manage it or be able to, not that I'm anything special, but the simple fact is that I thought I was.
Yes.
I thought I was. I thought I was exempt. I thought if nothing else that God would understand. And I come to find out that I was not. And for the same reason, that's where I need to realize that, hey, you know, I don't have all these days that I think I have. My days were numbered from the time I was, before I was conceived. The Lord knew how long I was going to be on this earth. I don't know when my last day is. So I need to live each and every day as if it were my last day, not in remorse or in grieving and weeping, but in joy and being able to bring the love of the Lord from me, within me, to others, to let them know. That's why we do what we do.
Well, that's because, I say because, I'll speak from my own chair, that there was a time when I wasn't quite as convicted. That is, I had faith that the Bible was true, but I didn't have faith that I needed to adhere to all of it. That is the proposition of the consequence. Yes, there's the promise of abundance, but there's also such great examples in Scripture where those that loved God did not mean that they had the big house, the big car, you know, that they were to endure. They were to suffer for the glory of God, because the reward is great and the consequence is also great.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's hard to build up. I know, as you said earlier, guys shutting off the radio, this is hard. This is one of the tough, this is just one subject, but really so much of it, Raul, seems to boil down to how much faith do I really have in the truth of the Scriptures? Do I really believe God's Word was breathed out for our benefit and for correction, reproof, and training in righteousness and all that?
Well, and that's where it comes down to, here's the question, or here it is. What are you willing to do?
Yeah.
Are you willing to go to any length to be able to live with pure freedom and pure joy and love from the Father, who will take care of you? You know, He's the one who's willing to do whatever is necessary so that you are supplied with everything that you need, okay? And He says all you have to do is come to Me as little children, not childish, but childlike, with that type of attitude of being able to say, you know what, I'm willing to give it all up because I trust in You, and I know You're here for me. You know, forgive me for what I've done in hurting you, because that's really, once again, it's a sin against God. It's not a sin against ourselves or maybe even the other person, which it is in a sense, but the one ultimately that we've sinned against is God. You know, there's, let's see, I'm just going to read it here. The book of Ephesians, it talks about in chapter 5, it mentions here in a sense that we should not even have a hint of sexual immorality. Now, here's the analogy I've used. I've had guys who say, hey, you know what? I just spent the night with her, but we didn't do anything. I slept on the couch, you know, and, you know, she was in her own bedroom and everything. I said, really? Well, you know what? That's still a sin. You know that. And he goes, how can that be a sin? Well, here's what it says here in chapter 5. It says, be imitators of God. Okay? That's our call. That's what we are supposed to be doing. Be imitators of God. Be more like Christ, right? Okay. And it's a comma. Therefore, as dearly loved children, I'm messing up here. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed because of these. These are improper for God's holy people. Okay. So not even a hint of sexual immorality.
So not even a thought.
Well, I'm not talking about, you know, that you actually are, you know, giving a hint of sexual immorality. Someone giving somebody else, here's the analogy I use. Here's the story I use. If you saw my truck, you know it was my truck, and you saw it parked in the driveway of a home of a single mother, okay, who's divorced or whatever, spouse is no longer around, and you see my truck in the driveway, you think, oh, I guess Raul must be helping her out with something here during the day, right? Now, and you drive a little bit later to go do something else, and it's evening time when you come back and you see my truck still in the driveway. You go, huh, he must really be, I wonder if I should, no. And you know
that's
who that
big job
is,
there,
right? And yeah, so you start thinking a little bit. And so the next morning when you get up to go to work, you see the truck still there with ice on the windshield and stuff, going, oh, my goodness. He spent the night. That's what you would think, right?
Sure.
I mean, why would you would have that thought?
But
right?
You would have been on the couch for sure.
No, but here's
okay.
The deal.
All right.
You don't know the whole story. You look at that. That's thinking, wow, Raul spent the night with that woman. I wonder if Debbie knows that he's here. I wonder if everything's okay. You know. So just your thought of thinking that, okay, here's the hint of sexual immorality.
I see.
That
I
something's
see.
Taken place. But really what truly happened is that she's a friend of my wife's and needed to borrow the truck for the following day to be able, because her car is broken down. Okay? And I wasn't even there at all.
Mm-hmm.
But you would be thinking that, oh, Raul was doing, you know, man, he's sinning. You know, I wonder if Debbie is even aware of it. That's what we're talking about. No matter what, people would end up, and you know what? I've seen it. I've been part of it at one time or another. You park the car down the street so that nobody notices that you're there or whatever, and you try to do things in secret. It all catches up. It all catches up.
Okay? It really does.
But the simple fact is that we need to be able to look at it the way that God looks at it. We have to. There's got to be a fear of Him somewhere in there.
So let's say that you have engaged in that, and now she's pregnant.
And oh, a different picture. Okay, got it.
Yes.
I'm sitting there going,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
In other words, now you're convicted. You're, okay, Lord, what have I got myself into? And let's say that's your point of conviction, that mm-hmm. this event was allowed to happen in your life. So now you have to make this decision.
Well.
Whole nother radio show?
Well, oh, of course it is.
I mean, or is that considered a consequence to that action?
Well, of course.
Okay.
Every action, there's a consequence
okay.
that takes place, whether it be good or not very good. So how about we take a break? We'll come okay. right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
I don't know about your body, but my body loves protein. That's right. And when I think about delicious protein, I think about Hempler's pepper bacon, Hempler's hams, Hempler's bun buster hot dogs, Hempler's chorizo, Hempler's chicken sausage. It's all so delicious, and I don't have to worry about extra fillers. The entire Hempler collection of smoked meats is completely free of allergens, gluten, and MSG, and it's made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. To learn where you can purchase your own Hempler's meat, visit Hempler's.com.
You're busy, and the last thing you want to worry about is lawn work. What if someone else took care of that for you? If you live in Northwest Washington, Kane's Lawn and Garden can take that job off your to-do list. With almost 30 years of experience, you know they have satisfied customers who continue to rely on them year after year. Kane's Lawn and Garden can provide as little or as much as you need. Mowing, edging, pruning, fertilizing, weed control, and even general property cleanup. Take advantage of special pricing right now. Request a quote by visiting their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. That's Kane's, spelled C-A-I-N-S, lawnandgarden.com.
Not who I was, simply because, oh, you set me free. Yeah, you changed me from.
Some of us don't even get the opportunity to be able to see the beauty of living a life with Christ. But we all have, who are listening, that opportunity today. And it's a matter of just having to see the way that our lives have been going. Instead of trying to justify, we can take just about any scripture, take it out of context, and have it fit for us so that we can justify, once again, to be able to do what we're doing. You know what? And saying that, hey, well, everyone else is doing it, you know, why can't that be? You know, and I remember what my folks used to say to me when we were kids, right, that we were doing that sort of, well, if Larry jumps off the bridge into the canal, are you going to do the same thing? Into the,
right.
You know, and well, only if it's, not very deep, you know.
Or the guy that says, I know that it's not right, but I got a buddy that after she got pregnant, then he had his come to Jesus moment and he was forgiven.
Yes, yes, yes.
So what do you do with that? I mean, if you know in advance It's kind of this one scripture that spun me out for the longest time, in Hebrews 10:26. It said something to the effect of, once you've received the knowledge of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and you continue to sin, your sins are forgiven no more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. Well, these are things that we know what the Word says. And see, unfortunately, everyone will say, oh, I didn't know that that was true. You know, you did, and you do. And that's why you're keeping it secret. Because if you didn't, you'd be having a party with everybody from the church saying, hey, we're moving in together. Isn't that great? You know? No, you know that it's not. You know it's immoral. And that's where we need to stay clear of that sort of thing. It's not pleasing to God. It's not what was intended for us to be doing.
But Satan is so good at laying those traps. So you find yourself in that spot. Does it really then become a heart thing? You can't counterfeit. You cannot, you know, fool God. So he knows that your heart knows that this is not right, but sometimes it takes these kinds of events in somebody's life, let's say an unexpected pregnancy, to go, uh-oh, mm-hmm. now what do I do? Well, now let's get out the fire extinguisher and pray for repentance and go forward from here.
Well, this is where, you know, once again, it becomes a challenge. Before, there was never any consultation between the people who are in the midst of sexual immorality, okay, with any pastor of any sort. But now is the time that you need to step up. I mean, or you're going to end up making decisions based on what you thought is a good thing to do. Well, your decision-making has been a little flawed lately. So maybe this isn't the best time for you to rely on your own self to be able to make some of these decisions. Then you need to bring somebody else with some wise counsel and godly counsel, because that's truly what is needed. No matter what, whether it be that the couple would end up, you know, and every situation is different. There are so many variables and so many things, but maybe it does come to the fact that maybe that you are able to marry and get married so that the child is raised by a godly mother and father. Okay. Maybe it's a situation where they're, you know, one of the spouses is already married and, you know, this is taking place. Well, maybe there's still responsibilities take place. Is it going to be painful, shameful? Is it going to hurt? You bet it is. But that's part of what sin, that's the part of the consequence of sin.
So then is the challenge to take that sinful nature that caused this act to be in sin, to not allow Satan to continue to reside there and turn this around for God's glory?
I'm not sure I understand.
In other words, let's take the scenario of the pregnant woman.
Okay.
And they've been living in sin. Hey, love one another, but they didn't count on that, okay?
Yeah.
And that's the, well, we better get married because of the kid, and we know how that usually ends up. So how do you take that sinful nature that caused you to make this poor decision mm-hmm. and turn it around to glorify God from there forward?
Well, there's nothing you do except for seeking God. See, we don't make the changes. God is the one that makes the changes in our lives and in other people's lives. We don't have control over that. We do have control over what we are planning on doing with our own hearts. And if we're not seeking God and his counsel and seeking to please him, then I'll put myself in that situation. I'm going to end up making a mistake again. I'm going to think once again that my best thinking is better now because I've flawed in it before and I've seen my flaw. No, that means that there's probably some more flaws around, banging around in there.
Well, when I was asked for counsel on this, part of the dynamic there that I was thinking was, as I was praying to myself and said, Lord, how do I minister encouragement here and take Satan out of the picture and glorify you from here forward, other than encourage them to have a repentant heart and to embrace your word and embrace all of that truth from here forward?
Mm-hmm.
Reasonable proposition?
Well, you know, really what it comes down to, once again, is that there has to be forgiveness in our hearts, okay? I've said, Lord, forgive me for what I've done.
Seeking forgiveness,
yeah.
Yes.
You know, and of what's taken place. And a truthful repentance isn't necessarily turning away from the lifestyle. It's a mindset of knowing that my sin offended God, okay? And I do not want to be doing that. He's the one who created me. He created me for a purpose, not to come and have sin and to mock him and to sin against him. He created me to be able to fulfill a purpose that he has extraordinarily made just for me and for you and for all of those who are listening. Okay. The fact is that, again, the enemy, knowing our shortcomings of how we can be attracted to sin, is given to us easily enough just in everyday occurrences. Okay. So what it comes down to is that, yes, we have an opportunity to renew ourselves. You know, in Psalm 139, created me a clean heart, you know, created me a clean heart. You know, so because what I'm needing is to be cleansed. I need to be able to see things differently. I need to see the scales drop from my eyes so I can actually see what the Lord has. I need to be able to have ears to hear so that I can receive this.
That's been described to me as conviction, or even in my own case.
Yeah.
I felt like this was a convicting moment in my life that caused me to genuinely turn to him in repentance and not be the fire extinguisher thing. At some point, we all make that decision, don't we?
Yeah, and we do. You know, there's a reason why sexual immorality is mentioned so often in and throughout the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. You know, Paul talks about it in when he talks about it to Timothy. You know, flee the desires of youth. Okay, and 2 Timothy 2:22, I think that is. And then 1 Corinthians, he talks about, like we talked about earlier, about the everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And it says down lower in verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually against his own body, sins against his own body, okay? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You know, again, it's being reminded of who it is that you are and who created you and what he created you for. Okay? Because, I mean, otherwise, we're going to sit there and we're going to keep on doing the same thing and justifying. And I got to tell you, man, by just reading the Word of God and being, some guy would say, hey, don't slam me with that. Really? I'm not slamming you in any. I'm just reading the Word of God of what it says. Mm. Okay? But he reminds us in there of all the things that will take place as a result of doing that sort of thing. You know?
And then there's the benefit of the truth will set you free.
Yes, yes.
That's the encouragement in all of this.
You know what? I think it's just beneficial that I end up reading this part right here in the book of Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
What a strengthening scripture.
Period.
Yes.
That is all in Colossians 3. And I've got to tell you, you know, you are one of the chosen ones. He has created you for a purpose. We just need to be mindful of that ourselves, so that when you encourage other brothers or sisters that are in the midst of sexual immorality, just listen to them and then let them ask. But brother, you have to be convinced yourself. And the only way of being able to be convinced yourself is you seeking the Lord. It is he that does the changes, right?
Yes.
I mean, it is...
And he knows exactly what it will take for each one of us individually, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Every time.
Well, that's Colossians 3. That's one of those ones you put in your back pocket and carry with you throughout the day, every day.
You know, and,
we need to be reminded of this stuff, because the enemy just keeps throwing all those arrows.
And he'll continue to do so. And some are going to hear it. And here's the thing, is that some will end up hearing it at a different time. It's not our timing. We want to make sure we're in God's timing on everything. So sometimes we don't give it all up at one specific time. We just a little bit. It's just like eating potato chips. You can't eat just one. Just eat one, give it to them, and just let them just think about it, you know?
Yes, yes.
Well, there you go, brother. It's a little bit about the thing that we've talked about. Hopefully we resonated with a few who are wondering about this sort of thing.
Or challenged with it, you bet.
There you go. How about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
Dear Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus, thank you for this time today. We pray that the words that were spoken here through the Holy Spirit, that it would have the conviction that you would have it in each and every listener on this day, and that they would be encouraged in that. In your precious name, amen.